What's up? Hey. I'm not going to lie. Mikey, you are a freaky troll, dude. You killed it. Crushed it. Man, I'm so excited. You guys, do you ever get like seasons in your life where you're just really excited for other people? Anybody? I hope so. I mean, that would be a really good thing to do since we talked about encouragement all last week, and you know, that's part of encouragement. So there's just a lot of really cool things going on in the church. We got like three couples that I know of that are like about to get married in the next 2 or 3 months. And you know, we believe in like growing the church and building the church, and that's how you do. You get married and you start popping out babies. Church just doubled. I mean, it's good, right? And we got other people shipping off to be Navy SEALs and crazy crap like that. So it's just exciting, man. There's a lot of good things going on in people's lives. And I think this ties really well in with the Troll series. Celebrate the good. Like, find the positive that's going on in people's lives and even your life and focus on that. Don't focus so much on the negative, because it's so much easier to focus on the negative, but it's so much better to focus on the positive, right? So we're going to continue our series called Trolls, and if you've missed any of it, a troll is simply somebody that just wants to suck the life out of you by talking negatively and talking down and just nyah, right, at you all the time. They're coming at you, brah. And so what we've talked about is just the fact that they're there. Like, it's unavoidable to have a run-in with a troll. Like, they're going to be there. And what's funny is we kind of talked about this a little bit. We think sometimes that if we do good, that we'll shut the trolls up, and that's just not the case. Like, trolls only come out when things are going good, because they want to knock you off of doing what is good, so they won't come out if you're not doing what's good, because they have no business, right? See? Okay. And then last week we talked about the difference between encouraging and discouraging and how much of an impact that it has on people's lives when you encourage them as opposed to discourage them. And it's so frustrating, because I know some of you guys, you grow up in houses that are so negative and so discouraging, and you have a choice to perpetuate that trend and that cycle or to break that cycle. And it's not easy. I'm not telling you that it's easy, but it's worth it. Just like everything in life, everything in Christianity, everything that Jesus told us is not easy, but it's good and it's worth it. Sometimes it's hard work. So anyway, that's kind of where we've been. Where we're going today is, this one is probably the hardest. Forgiving the trolls. You know, it's one thing to forgive somebody that you love, but it's a whole other thing when you forgive somebody that you don't even care about necessarily. Like, if my wife and I, we get into an argument and she's right, you know, and I got to be like, oh, Lord, you're right, and forgive her for all of that stuff, right? Like, that's an easy thing to do because we love each other, and it's easy to forgive people that you love. But what if you don't love them? What if the only interaction you've ever had with them is negative, and then you're supposed to forgive somebody like that? We'll get there. I don't want to jump ahead. So like I said, it's unavoidable to have a run-in with a troll. It's going to happen. Maybe they catch you kind of in a weak moment, or maybe they catch you at a point in your life where you're feeling a little bit insecure, so their words just kind of cut deep. Have you ever had a situation like that happen? Man, it's just like, it seems like when we're most vulnerable is when people talk the most. And maybe that's just because we're paying attention to whatever it is they're saying. So the point is just simply that you're going to have kind of a run-in or an interaction with a troll. And when it happens, you have a choice. When somebody hurts you or somebody says something about you that cuts, you have a choice as to what it is that you're going to do with what they said. You can either A, internalize it, think about it, and let it dictate how you think and act and react, and you can harbor resentment and bitterness and cynicism, or you can forgive the troll and move on about your life that's actually amounting to something. Like, those are the two options that you have. There's really no in-between when it comes to forgiving the trolls. And so the power and control is ours in these situations, as, you know, the proverbial ball is in your court. I don't understand. I've never really understood that expression. I just use it all the time because it sounds cool, right? You guys are weak. Anybody else say things that you're not really sure what they mean? Yeah. I always heard, and it's probably because we live in East Texas and we mispronounce things all the time, right? I've always heard the expression, for all intensive purposes. That's not what it is. It's for all intents and purposes, right? Hello? Intents, like the intents and purposes. I'm not sure why you guys are laughing. Anyway, I didn't say I was pitching. Anyway, there's a YouTube video that you guys have to watch. Just type in, pitching my tents, and you will die. You will absolutely die. So the first point is, we're going to talk about this whole forgiveness thing. And man, this is such a large topic and a weighty topic that we could talk about it for several weeks. but we're not going to do that. We'll just condense it and talk specifically about the trolls. The first thing is this: forgive them or you'll join them. Like, it's just that true. If you don't forgive them, you're going to join them. Because, like I said, we have this choice to make when somebody hurts us. You can either allow that to create bitterness inside of you, which will eventually be spewed on other people, or you can forgive them and let it go. If you don't forgive them, you'll join them. When we're hurt or criticized by a troll, this is kind of, let's start at square one here. Let's start at the foundation. When you're criticized by a troll, sometimes it helps to understand where they're coming from, like their motive. And I can't say this is 100%. It's not absolutely correct all of the time. But a lot of times, we have to remember that a troll is really just trying to get you to stoop to their level. Like, some people are just mean and they suck, and that's life, right? Like, I mean, I know that's very harsh, but that's the truth. If you live, you'll experience this. But there are other people that are trolls, not by choice, but by kind of like bad decisions or whatever. It's not that they wanted to be a troll, it's just they ended up being a troll because they didn't forgive and they didn't handle situations properly. And so it helps to understand the motive of a troll sometimes. A lot of times, they're just trying to get you to stoop to their level. Like we said before, misery loves company, right? And so what they're trying to do is just trying to incite a negative response out of you because they feel negative and they want to create this tension and this drama. And if you know that that's what they're trying to do, then you know that you don't have to play into their hands, right? You don't have to play their game. Another one, this one is so good. And any conflict that you ever have, if you can remember this, it'll help so much. I heard this quote years and years ago because I'm old. I get older every year. Would you believe that? I heard this quote a long time ago, and it said this, and this is so true. Hurting people hurt people. Like, a troll is often a troll because they've been hurt, and they didn't handle the situation right. Maybe they weren't mature enough at the time, or they didn't know what to do or how to do it. And so now that they are hurt, they hurt. They hurt other people because they are hurting. And I think it helps to understand that when you're dealing with trolls. It's easier to forgive somebody when you know a little bit about them and you understand maybe they don't even really mean to be the way they are. It helps us to forgive them. So I think that's important to know. In most cases, people who are trolls have been hurt, they've harbored resentment, and they've harbored bitterness, and they are now cynical and critical of anyone and everything. And what's so sad about this is that if they would have come to Motion Church and listened to this message, they probably would have been better off. Because if you don't forgive them, you join them. And what happened to them may be that somebody hurt them. And instead of forgiving them, they joined them. They became a troll. Maybe you grew up, or maybe they grew up in a house with a dad that was just critical of every single thing that they did. And you know what's so crazy about this? I've experienced this and talked to people, and everybody says that I'm not going to be like my parents. And everybody that says they're not going to be like their parents ends up just like their parents. And it's so true. And maybe that was the situation. Maybe they grew up with an overbearing dad or, you know, a critical mom or something like that. And they said, you know, I'm not going to do that. And over time, they just reproduced who it was that they were around. And we've got to be careful of or weary of is that if we're not careful, we can do the same thing. Like, the same thing can happen to us if we're not careful. If we don't forgive them, we can join them. And maybe, like I said, maybe there are people close to you. Maybe you've got family members or friends or whatever the case is. It helps to understand the motive. But at the end of the day, you've got the choice and responsibility to forgive them. Otherwise, you join them. If you don't forgive them, you join them. Thank you. If we don't forgive trolls, this is what we do. We allow their words to dictate our thoughts. Like, to dominate our thoughts. If we allow their words to dominate our thoughts, and then those thoughts eventually dictate what we do, that's how a troll controls your life, because we allow what they say to perpetuate in our minds, and whatever it is that we think about and dwell on eventually becomes what it is that we do. And that's how a troll can control your life. A control. Ooh. I just came up with that on the fly. You recording this? Okay. Do I need to put a date or anything on it? Okay. I'm just kidding. That was terrible. But this is the point. That works in reverse order, too. I tell my kids this all the time, and it's so funny. My son, every time we pray and he gets to pray, it's his turn to pray. Dude, I don't care if he's fixing to go to bed or if it's the middle of the day. It doesn't matter. Every prayer starts with, God, thank you for the food. Like, I mean, he could be laying in bed fixing to go to sleep. You ain't getting no food, kid. But it's like every prayer starts with, God, thank you for the food. But anyway, even he started to say this, and it's so he says it so much cuter than I do. But the point is just simply that I tell my kids, God, help us to think like you think so that we can do like you would do. And he says it, and he's like, you know, help us to think like you think so we can do like you do. It gets me. I'm like, every time. It's so cute. Anyway. But that's just it, man. It works in reverse order. If we think like God thinks, then we'll do like God does. And if we don't allow the words or the, you know, projections of other people to dominate our thoughts, it's not going to dictate what we do. We have to think like God thinks. And if you think like God thinks like forgiveness. Like, that's a big, I mean, read the New Testament. Like, the whole purpose of the New Testament is the forgiveness and reconciliation, redemption of humanity through Jesus and the forgiveness of sin. Like, that's it. Like, God's heart is forgiveness. And if we think like God thinks, then we'll do what God does, and that's forgive. Failure to forgive gives the power to the control, or power to the trolls, and it places the control of our lives in their hands. And that's the last thing you want. Like, that's the last thing you want, is somebody else controlling your life. Controlling. I'm so excited about that. Why didn't I think of that sooner? Like, we could have done a whole freaking message on that. Anyway. And you know what's sad? This is what's so sad, is that this is a condition that you find prevalent in the church and Christianity. Like, people have so much bitterness and kind of hatred towards the church. And what's sad about that is that most of the people that they're mad at, like, they're projecting all of this venom on people that didn't even do anything to them, right? It's kind of the church. Well, I'm part of the church, and I don't even know you, bro, but they hate the church. But you see what I'm saying? They've been kind of owned and dominated by this troll mentality, and so anybody that gets in their way is going to get trolled, and anybody who has anything to say that disagrees with them is going to get trolled. And so it's sad, it's prevalent, it's a condition that we have to be aware of. Now let's shift gears just a little bit, because this forgiveness thing is kind of a broad, it's a little bit of an abstract concept or idea. Forgiveness has many forms. Like, forgiveness for you may be a conversation with somebody. Like, maybe you need to talk to somebody and say, you know, I hurt you, you hurt me, or whatever the case may be. I forgive you, let's move on, right? That may be forgiveness for you. Forgiveness for others of you may be a funeral in your head for somebody. Like, I know that sounds harsh. Some of you, in order to forgive, forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean reconciliation. Like, just because you forgive somebody doesn't mean that you have to, you know, be BFFs with them or get back with them or whatever your situation or relational issue is. Forgiveness may be you cut off the relationship and you forgive them and you let them go. Forgive and forget, right? You ever heard that expression? And it's just true. In order to forgive, sometimes you need to get away. Because if you stay around them, you're not going to forgive them. You're going to get more angry with them. And so forgiveness looks a lot of different ways. But the point is, the bottom line is, that's our job, is to forgive and not allow the things they say or the things they do to dominate our thoughts. One of the greatest challenges in the Bible is to forgive. And what's so crazy about this, like I kind of alluded to, it's not just to forgive anyone, but it's to forgive people that have hurt us. Like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, I wish he would not have said this, to be honest with you. But he said, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Like, that's the way they did it in the old school, right? In the Old Testament. You love me, I love you. You hate me, I hate you. Right, that seems simple enough, right? But Jesus said, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Persecute would be say things about you, revile you, talk down at you, talk bad about you, talk bad about your mama, like persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven, because the Father forgives. And if we want to be his children, we forgive. We just do what he did. And so this is one of the hardest things. It's one thing to forgive somebody that you love. It's a whole other thing to forgive somebody that's hurt you or harmed you or is still currently talking crap about you. But Jesus said, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Dang, right? That's hard. Like, there's a lot of things that are good, that are really difficult, and that's like the number one thing. There's some more insight into this in the book of Romans. Romans is an incredible book, probably my favorite book in the entire Bible. It's got so much stuff. And there's this one section in Romans chapter 12 that I wish they would have left out, but they didn't, and I guess it's for a reason. And this is what it says. It says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. And we don't live like, this is not how we grow up. Like, I mean, most of you grew up with dads that said, hey, man, if a kid picks on you in school, punch him in the mouth. Right? I mean, the only way my dad would have ever been mad at me is if I got in a fight, is if I lost. Like, that's it. Like, this is not how most of us grew up. So we have to be reconditioned and reprogrammed by a good father that actually cares about us and knows what he wants for us and what's good for us and where our lives need to go. Hello. And so do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And this one, man, this one gets me every time I read it. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, as far as it depends on you, whose choice is it? It's your choice. Who has the power? You have the power. I feel like He-Man. I have. That's before y'all's time, right? Anybody know He-Man? Yes. Anybody over 30 knows He-Man. Woo! Those are the real cartoons. All that Pokemon crap you kids grew up on. Those aren't cartoons. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room. This is the fun part. If we get this right, like, God's going to take care of it. He's like, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, and this is the hard part again. That was good. It's not so good. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. You ever heard the expression, kill him with kindness? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The only way that happens is if we forgive. Like, that's it. That's the only way we get to that point. That's the only way that we live at peace with all men as much as it depends on us, because you're going to get wronged. And the only way for you to keep the peace in a situation like that is to forgive the person that wronged you. And the only way that you could ever possibly be nice to somebody that's been mean to you is through forgiveness. The only way you could ever bring yourself to give somebody food that's hungry that you hate. The only way that you could ever bring yourself to give somebody something to drink that's thirsty that you hate is through forgiveness. That's it. That is the only way we get to that point. The takeaway is really, really simple. We are called to forgive. Like, just like it says right before, if you want to be children of your Father in heaven, then forgiveness is the way to do that. So we're called to forgive. If we fail to do so, we'll become what we despise. We'll become what we despise if we don't forgive. So that's kind of the first part of it. It's just, man, forgive them or you'll join them. The second part of this is kind of this is the good stuff, right? It's always good to get the hard stuff out of the way and tell us all the things we got to do that we don't want to do. Now we'll talk about the benefits. There's always benefits. You know what's crazy? I've been in church and trying to follow Jesus for the last 14 years. And it seems like everything I learn and everything that I've come to, you know, conclusions about God is that if we just do what he wants us to do, there's always rewards for doing what he wants us to do. Like, even when there are things that we want to do that we don't get to do, or things that we don't want to do that we have to do, there's always benefits. Like, dude, if you go back to the Old Testament and everything that God asked him to do that was such this, you know, strenuous law, there was always a reason. There was always a why behind the what. And it was always about protecting and taking care of his people. And so it's interesting to me that there's always benefit in doing the right thing. The second part we're going to talk about today is, again, the benefit of exercising our ability to forgive. How many of you guys like to work out? Did I tell you? I'm not going to lie. We have, like, the healthiest church in the world. Like, everybody's, like, gym rats, freaks, and, you know, 4:30 at body pump crap. I don't know how y'all do that. Listen, I'll get up that early, but I ain't about to work out. I'll drink a cup of coffee. Matter of fact, we went on Saturday morning, and I'm not talking early. It was, like, 8:30 or 9. Maybe not even that early. 9:30. That's early on Saturday morning, right? And so my pre-workout was a cup of coffee. Like, that's it. That's how we roll. So anyway, the point is, we have a very healthy church. You guys like to work out. And, you know, forgiveness is like an exercise. It's a way that we exercise our faith muscles. I know that's a really cheesy analogy, but it's so true. And the more you do it, the stronger you get. It's really important. So I'm going to talk about just some quick points here to the value and benefit of forgiving. When we forgive, we give God space to do what only he can do. You know, God is the only one that can change the heart of a troll. You can't change the heart of a troll. Like, just not going to happen, not going to go down like that. If we respond appropriately to trolls and people who have harmed us and wronged us, if we respond appropriately, we create opportunity for the love and forgiveness of God to be modeled to them. When they see that you don't respond the way that they wanted you to respond, but you respond in love and forgiveness, if nothing else, maybe you don't change their mind, maybe you don't change their heart, maybe you don't affect them at all, but they've seen the love of God modeled in and through you. That's the best that you could hope for. Like, we can't change them, but we can influence them. We can't change them, but we can leverage the relationship that we have with them to point them to Jesus, right? We don't make people fall in love with Jesus. We just set up dates. And when you do the right thing and you treat them right and you forgive them, you're just setting up a date. Like, that's all you're doing. You're creating opportunity for them to have an opportunity to see Jesus in you and respond to that. You know, that there's this phrase that we use in Christianity. It's called the Great Commission. Have you guys heard of that? Y'all familiar with it? Anybody? That's good. That's some good H2O. Some good leche. Anyway, the Great Commission is found in Matthew chapter 28. And it's this really, you know, powerful phrase. It says, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And so that kind of becomes the MO of the New Testament church, is to go into all the world. Well, you know that our world is our world, right? Paul said that we have a sphere of influence. And your world is the people that you interact with every day, right? Your world is the people that you go to work with. Your world is the people that you go to school with. Your world is the people that you're in, you know, in their family for some ungodly reason, right? You don't have any choice or control of the family that God gave you. You're just like, why me? Why me? I ask God all the time, I was like, why couldn't my dad be Archie Manning? I can't figure it out. 6'5", 230, laser rocket arm. But the point is just this. Like, it's our job to go into all the world and to make disciples. And one of the ways that we do that is to forgive people who have harmed us, to forgive people who said bad things about us or trolled us. Like, when we do that, we're just furthering the cause. When we do that, we're just giving people opportunities to see the love of God modeled in our lives. It's just like we talked about last week. We just give what we've gotten. Like, all we do is give what's been given to us. Did you deserve forgiveness? Not one of us. Not one of us in this room deserved forgiveness from God, but he gave it to us anyway. And so when people harm you, do they deserve forgiveness? Nope. But do we forgive them just like God forgave us? Yep. Right? So that's the first thing. When we forgive, we give God space to do what only he can do. The second one is this. When we forgive, this is kind of coming back to the whole faith as like an, you know, muscle, biceps, triceps. When you go to the gym, this is funny. This is a one-liner for all you guys that go to the gym. When somebody asks you what you're working, eyes, buys, and thighs. That means you're looking for a date. Your eyes are working. Your buys are your gland muscles, and I don't know what's up with the thighs. It just rhymes. When we forgive, we grow spiritually. Like, God is in this action-reaction business, like we've talked about. Like, for everything that we do, God does something in return or retaliation for the things that we do. And I don't want you guys to believe that God is, you know, waiting with a frying pan to knock the crud out of you for anything you've ever done wrong. Like, that's not it. But God is absolutely about consequence for bad decisions, and he's about reward for good decisions. Like, just read the Bible. You'll figure that out. Live your life. You'll figure that out. And so it amazes me. It amazes me that people get mad at God when bad things happen after they've made terrible decision after terrible decision after terrible decision. And it's God's fault. Can you believe he would let me be in this situation after I did this and I did this and I did this? But still, Jesus could have, he's good, right? He's good, but you're dumb. Anyway, like we talked about before, God is absolutely in this action-reaction business. And when we do something that pleases him, like forgive, he is pleased to participate in our lives, and as a result of that, we grow spiritually. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, you've probably heard this, and it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. When we forgive, forgiveness is just an act of faith. Like, that's all it is. It's an exercise of faith when we forgive. Doesn't it take faith to believe that you should forgive somebody that doesn't deserve forgiveness? Like, it takes, I don't know about you, but it takes a great deal of faith to forgive somebody that's talking bad about me. That's the last thing I want to do is forgive them. I want to punch them. Like, if we're honest, and I think we should be in church. But faith forces us to forgive. So it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when we forgive, we please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. If we have faith and we do things that please God, he rewards us. Like, see the action reaction thing? Like, God is absolutely about, you do the right thing, I'll take care of you. I heard this quote one time that really sums this up. It's like, God takes full responsibility of the life that's fully devoted to him. Like, God will take full responsibility for your life if your life is fully devoted to him. Like, he takes care of it. He provides. He opens doors, gives opportunities. He'll take care of you if you do the right thing. He'll take care of you. Don't worry about all the rest. Don't worry about the details. If you forgive people like you're supposed to, then God will take care of the rest. And it may not look like you think it should look, because it's funny, you read, do you guys ever read the Old Testament? Right? Forgiveness in the Old Testament usually looked like this. God, kill them. It really did. I mean, you read a lot of the prophet. I'm reading the book of Jeremiah. I'm reading chronologically now, and I'm in Jeremiah. I wouldn't do it by choice, but I'm in Jeremiah. And it's always like, God, have vengeance on my enemies. Like, kill them. There's some of it's like so graphic. It's like, rip out their teeth and grind them to powder. I'm like, that makes me want to go to a dentist. Not really. So anyway, the point is, forgiveness is an exercise in faith. When we forgive, we reveal our trust that God really is who he says he is and that he is in control. Trolls aren't in control. God is in control. And when we forgive, we're just showing our faith in that. And according to this verse, he rewards us for it. Like, that's a pretty great opportunity for us. You know, there's very little risk and a whole lot of reward in forgiveness. All right, the last one is this. This is a little cheesy, but bear with me. Do you guys watch entirely too much TV? You know, we all gripe about commercials, but I swear I know every commercial known to man. Like, for some reason or another, I'm tuned in. So when we forgive, we are free to move about the country. You guys, it's like Southwest. It's like, bang. Yeah. You are free to move about the country. Bang. Sorry. When we forgive, y'all stop. Either you got to laugh like immediately. You can't do the slow chuckle because that ain't working, right? Then I just start thinking my zipper's undone or something. It's like, you know, the snicker. Stop it. When we forgive, we're free to move about the country. Forgiveness, let me explain this. Forgiveness allows us to continue to live our lives and progress and to continue to experience the goodness of God. Like, if you don't forgive, then what you do is you come to a standstill or go backwards in your life because you're allowing that to be who you are and to control what you do and dominate your thoughts. And so you stop at best or you move back at worst. But if you forgive, it gives you the freedom to move on and to progress and to continue to live your life that's actually amounting to something, right? Trolls, they don't count. Like, man, this is so important, and we've already said this, but if you didn't hear it, or if you did hear it, you need to hear it again. Like, it's not the critic that counts. That's like chant worthy. It's not the critic that counts. Like, it's not the critic that counts. They can say whatever they want to say. Let them talk. Let them do their thing. You keep on keeping on. Move. Fight the good fight. Be yourself. Do the things you know you're supposed to do. Follow Jesus. Whatever it is that you're supposed to do that some troll is trying to knock you off from, don't listen to the trolls. Like, go. This is so funny. This is so good. I feel really excited about this one. And I'm going to set it up really well so that you guys feel the excitement too. When you're doing great, people gonna hate. Ooh. I need a handkerchief or something and an organ. When you're doing great, that's when people are gonna hate. Like, when you're on the right track and you're doing the right thing and you're being you and you're following Jesus and you stop doing all of these things and you started doing all of these things, that's when the trolls are gonna come out.
And that's when they're going to talk and run their mouths. And you have a choice. You forgive them and move on. Or you listen and you stay still or back up. That's your choice. You have the power to decide. Forgiving them helps you to continue to stay on the right track and keep on keeping on. I saw a video that kind of sums this up. This is really interesting. Have you guys seen the celebrity tweets video, like celebrities reading tweets that people wrote about them or tweeted about them? And you know what's ironic about this? These people have accomplished more than their trolls could ever even dream of accomplishing. But for some reason, because of the obscurity of Twitter, and you're so awesome when you're sitting behind a computer screen, right? Like, you have so much power and bravado and force. And so you can say whatever you want to say about somebody. You can troll on them and clown on them and all of that stuff. And it's just crazy, because if we just looked at this logically, there's no way on God's green earth that they've ever or ever will accomplish a fraction of what these other people accomplish. But they feel the need to say whatever it is they have to say. So I found this video. I want to play it. I think it's fitting. Enjoy.
Your face is so stupid. I hate you, John Krasinski.
Is there a Kickstarter campaign for Kevin James to never make another movie?
Chris O'Donnell has a potato face. He does. Hashtag potato face.
Selena Gomez is on the radio right now. Is there a volume lower than mute? Sorry.
I saw Larry King at dinner, but it might have been just a run-of-the-mill goblin.
Nick Offerman's hands seem crazy small compared to his head.
Hank from Breaking Bad is just a fat Bruce Willis.
This is confusing. This is not. Will Arnett looks like Dracula. Wow. Looks like a cartoon version of Dracula, or Dracula. What? Because my teeth? You know what it is? My hairline. Got it. Thank you.
Did you know that if you skinned Larry King and ironed out his leather, you could make enough coats to give one to every poor child in America?
I already know when I get pregnant, I'm going to pull a Jessica Simpson and gain 598 pounds.
If you change the I in Anna Faris's last name to a T, you get Anna Farts. Interesting.
Wow. Like, I know it is really funny, but it's just ridiculous at the same time that these people, have you ever, I probably shouldn't do this, but I have. I look at people that troll other people sometimes. If you ever click on their account, they have like 5,000 people that they're following, and they're being followed by 5 people, right? It's just embarrassing. Like, what are you doing? What do you think? It's ridiculous when people come to this point. And so here's the deal. The one thing that we need to walk away from this and know is that you're going to encounter trolls in your life. That's out of your control. But what you do have control of is what happens after that encounter. What you do to and with that troll. Do you forgive them? Or do you allow what they've said to harm you, to hurt you, to kind of, you know, dominate and dictate your thoughts? And so what I wanted to do this morning, you know, the last song that we sang is Give Me Faith. And so in a room this size with this many people, you just couldn't tell me that there's not people in this room that need to forgive other people. There are people in this room that have people in their lives who have hurt them, who've said things about them, who have harmed them with words or actions or whatever the case may be. You've been trolled. And so this morning, the band is going to play this song, and I want us to take a few minutes, and you just have a time. You can sit, you can, whatever you want to do, close your eyes, bow your head, just think about your life. And if you've got people you need to forgive, like, now is the time to do it. It's a start. There may be more that you need to do. Don't think that this is necessarily it, but this is a start for you. Maybe you need to have this conversation with God about this person that you need to forgive, and maybe you need more faith to forgive them. So this song, Give Me Faith, is how we're going to wrap this thing up. Chris is going to come up afterwards, and you guys will be dismissed.